I'm Justin Oldham, and you're listening to an ATS member podcast supported by AboveTopSecret.com. For the benefit of those very careful computers over at the Department of Homeland Security, which might be scanning this file, I'd like to say that this digital recording was made on Friday, July 6th of 2007. For the next 10 minutes, I'd like to talk to you about what it might take to start a viable third party in the United States. Now, you don't have to be a conspiracy theorist or an American citizen to know that the Democrats and Republicans have got a lot of strikes against them these days. The Republican Party, sometimes referred to GOP, which is incidentally an acronym that stands for Grand Old Party, has more than its fair share of strikes against them these days. They've pretty much thrown the baby out with the bathwater when it comes to small government advocacy and fiscal responsibility, which used to be their trademarks. When Mr. Bush came to office in 2000, he brought with him a significant Republican majority, but unfortunately, the Republicans who came in with him may have copied his modus operandi just a little too closely. For 6 years in a row, we saw one Congress after another do nothing except suck up a lot of public dollars. Democrats, while in the majority, were getting their fair share. More than anything else, the Republicans have nerfed it when it comes to the war in Iraq. This has caused a lot of people to wring their hands and cry to the heavens, "Why, oh why, can we not have a third party? We so very much need another choice." Well, the truth of the matter is that there are quite a few other choices out there right now. It's just that none of them has the money, the manpower, or the technical support, or the organization that it takes to be a national political party. Now, I live in Anchorage, Alaska, so whenever I go to the polls, I usually have my choice of 6 or 8 candidates, whether it's the state governor, the city mayor, or the local dog catcher. We have just more than Republicans and Democrats who run for office up here. We've got your Greens, we've got your Libertarians, we've got other flavors that go by other labels. Unfortunately, when you investigate, it turns out that half the political parties in the state are a P.O. box and a notation on somebody's resume. So, the question put to me by some of the better conspiracy buffs on AboveTopSecret.com is, what do we need for a viable third party? Now, those of you who've read my book already know what I'm going to say, so please just bear with me. Grab the popcorn and come along for the ride. A national-level political party in any country is made up of tens of thousands of people who make up an administrative and advisory backbone for the organization. This paper tiger is powered by tens of millions of dollars. The Republicans and Democrats, for example, have people that work for them on the local, regional, and state levels. These people maintain offices, they have letterheads, they've got college degrees, and they don't work cheap. The people at the very top of these organizations are party leaders and the elected officials who carry the flag. If you should ever make up your mind to go into American politics, you're going to have two choices to make. Do you want to be the guy out front who has to get the votes, or do you want to be the person who works behind the scenes? Political parties are a lot like armies in one respect. Modern armies and modern political organizations have large support infrastructures. For every one politician you see in front of the TV cameras, there could be 20 or 30 people behind the scenes to help them do their job. In the same way that soldiers have medics and technicians and armorers and other people who support them, politicians who go to Congress have their own advisors and deal-makers, information specialists, lawyers, meters and greeters, and caterers. And when you get right down to it, anybody can start a political party. All you need to do is fill out the right paperwork and get yourself a P.O. box, and you can establish the right and honorable order of juggling blue tubas if you really want to. I know what you're thinking. How do you develop a following, and how do you pass the hat, and how do you do all those other things that make it possible to run for the presidency? Well, the first thing you do is aim low. start with your local dog catcher or city council or some other sort of grassroots job. Here in Alaska, we're so used to having people run on unusual political tags that we don't think twice about it. Really, what we're interested in is what he or she is actually saying. No matter what part of the country you live in, every American's got the same problem. Once you start to reach out and touch people in large numbers, your message has to resonate with them. If that actually happens, then you have to have the mechanisms in place for them to give you money. It's been said that managing any political organization is like herding cats. Whoever said that is not wrong, because until you have an established chain of command in place, and until you have established orders and rules and ways of doing business, anybody who works with you is going to be on your staff largely by volunteer basis, which means if they get fed up with you at any time, they'll walk, because chances are good you're not paying them. As you may know from various books, movies, and TV series, the average campaign worker is there on their own dime. It's all voluntary for them. The only people who are drawing a salary of any kind will be the headquarters managers, the poll canvassers, the political strategists, and anybody else who provides an extremely specialized service, say like computer tech support, communication security, etc. In one very interesting respect, the same sort of planning that you would use to carry out just about any conspiracy could also be used to develop your very own political party. I don't know about you, but I think that coincidence is rather funny. Until some very dynamic person comes along with a great deal of money and the ambition and the vision to devote themselves to a 20 or 30 year cycle of planning, we're probably not going to see a third party anytime soon. That doesn't mean that some social crisis couldn't pop up, which provides the majority with a leader whom they can get behind. It just means it's not that likely. Now, this reality check may leave you feeling somewhat hopeless, but I'd like to cheer you up by making one observation. As we head into the next decade, internet-based technologies like the iPhone or text messengers or handheld video cameras or anything else that's going to pop up on the horizon anytime soon make it possible for you to reach more people using less of your own dollars than has ever been possible in the past. Today, if you post a video to YouTube, you can be seen by 5 million people. If you post a podcast to AboveTopSecret.com, you might be listened to by a million people. Now, like Uncle Ben said to Peter Parker, with great power comes great responsibility. So just because you have these tools at your disposal doesn't mean you should take them for granted. If you are going to bother to speak to the world, you need to stop and think about what you're going to say before you open your big mouth. Follow me is just not good enough. Now, while you're busy saying whatever's on your mind or whatever you think should be done about a particular issue, pay attention to what other people are saying, because the chances are good that you're not the only one with that message. If you can get over your shyness, I suggest that you reach out and make contact with these other people. That is the very basis of what they call networking. All good conspirators are fully aware of the fact that sometimes it's not what you know, but who you know. One of the easiest ways to begin networking is to write to your representatives or to your senators while you're in high school or college and ask them about internships. Most of these run 6 to 8 weeks during the summer, and they'll put you to work in their office for minimum wage, and you'll get a lot of make work, but you'll also get a chance to see what really goes on. If that's more of a commitment than you're ready for, then just find somebody who's running for office that you can stand and hang around their office for 2 hours. Keep your mouth shut and keep your ears open, and you'll be surprised at what you learn. Once again, I'm Justin Oldham, and you've been listening to an ATS member podcast that'll reach millions, supported by AboveTopSecret.com. Thanks for your time, drop me a note, and have a good day.